Hey guys, welcome to episode 63 of the JV Club with none other than sex nerd Sandra, aka Sandra Doherty. We had such a great time. I have recorded several episodes that I have sort of stocked up on so that I could continue releasing episodes while I am away in New Zealand, and this marks the first of those, and I am just completely delighted and overjoyed that Sandra was on the show. I mean, listen, I love all my guests. Nobody knows that better than you guys, except maybe me, but this one was just, dare I say, electric. It was just cerebrally electric. I felt like I couldn't possibly talk fast enough to get out all the words in my mind. And I think Sandra felt the same way. So we really, really had a great time doing the podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it. What I'm going to try to do with shout outs is to get some shout outs out here for this episode for this Thursday. I'm about to record the intro for the following episode. So if you shout me out while I'm away, do not be surprised if you do not make it into shout outs before I get back, because these are things that I have pulled offline for now. And you know, I'll get caught up on that stuff when I get back. I'd love to be able to touch in with that stuff while I'm gone. But on the off chance that I'm so busy herding sheep in New Zealand that I don't have a chance to be online much, I still wanted to get some shout outs in there in some of these episode intros. So first off, I want to give shout outs to Jackie F and PJ and Jenny S and Amy and Alec on the Christie page. Thanks to all of you for your patience with the just little snafu with the audio and the fact that the episode re-released. I think it was a bit confusing for a time there because Apple was recognizing it both as a new episode and as an old episode. So people's iTunes weren't downloading them automatically. I mean, it was a whole thing. Again, to hold on desperately to the drama I tried to create, the stir I tried to create around all of this when it happened last week. I think we've all worked it out now. I think everyone's probably fine. On the Casey Wilson page on Nerdist, I want to thank DEC1234, Trala, Rebecca V, Will, Hannah, Joseph, Alec, PJ, Scott B, Amy, Jess, James M, Guano Lad, Bronwyn, and for your email, Mike W in Tucson AZ, my buddy over in Tucson. Thank you so much for listening and for weighing in, guys. And that's it. It's a quickie. I'm going to welcome you into the episode without any further ado. Maybe one more ado. Ado.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
For those of you who are regular listeners to the podcast, you will understand the significance when I tell you that Sandra is seated on the carpet and not on the couch. And again, I don't think, you know, it's not something that I think about when someone picks the couch. I never call it out because generally people sit on the couch. But I do call it out when someone sits on the carpet. It's a litmus test I kind of only use specifically on the people who sit on the carpet. Like, I never think twice when someone sits on the couch. But when someone's like, I'll sit on the floor, I'm like, I like this person. Oh. Like, you passed a test I didn't even know that I was administering until after it was over.
Good, because yeah. We just met.
I know.
And there's that part of you where you're like, I hope we become friends sometime.
It's done.
Carpet time.
It's done.
You have the best floor sitting carpet.
Carpet diem.
Because there's a
cush to it. This is a very fluffy sort of shag without being like a hairy shag. Nobody needs like a straight up hairy, you know, like a flocati. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's a very specific word.
My grandmother had some ridiculous,
right? Those flocatis where it's like a little muppety.
Like if there's a breeze, it flows.
Yeah. Like rippling seas of grain. That actually sounds pretty good. Rippling seas of grain. But yeah. Okay. So we're speaking the same language. There's no question about that. Flocati, by the way, does actually sound like a Game of Thrones language.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, do you speak Flocati?
It's my maiden tongue.
I knew it. I knew it. We have to come up with some sort of like weird mythical beast that is associated with the Flocati people.
The koalasaur.
Yes. Thank God you said that.
That's interesting you would say that, because the cartoon that I'm on mixes animals.
Oh, really?
All the animals on the cartoon. I guess fire ferrets aren't. That's not really true. That's just a ferret. But most of the, like, you see that image up there? That's my character's best friend and dog, but it's a polar bear dog.
Oh.
So she's part polar bear, part dog. So I want to see this koalasaur. So I welcome listeners, because we do have some very artistic listeners, to provide an image of the koalasaur if you would like to sketch something out. I mean, we even have graphic novelists who listen to this podcast, so... Sandra, you could have a whole new adventure. The Sandra and the Flocati people and their koalasaurs.
I want a picture of me riding my koalasaur through the jungle, but pausing to eat some leaves.
I think there's an 85% chance that image will come into your life within the next month.
Ah, well, thank you.
I could go sooner. If somebody gets real excited about it, it could happen in days after this episode is released. But I'm going to say within a month.
Okay. We've told the universe, and the universe is listening.
We've put it out there. We're secreting on a very, very specific, very simplistic idea. But sometimes those are the best ones to pick.
Secreting.
We're secreting right now.
Wow.
We're totally secreting right now.
Huh. It's so funny. I was just doing a little thought process on secrets. So it's funny that you used it as a verb. I realized I hold a lot of secrets. Like, constantly people are telling me their deep, dark...
Oh, sure.
Secrets all the time.
Sure.
And, like, things that I'm constantly holding stuff in. And then when I see them with other people, I'm like, I can't say anything.
I know a thing. I know a thing.
So, like, I'm constantly knowing things about things. And I, at some point, I realized, like, wow. And
you're
I just started...
Up.
Yeah, but then I started telling people more of, like, my own stories and things, which I usually don't share. I think it's because I'm holding so many secrets that it's just the rest of
my something's got to get out. You've come to the right podcast. I'm very glad I invited you. You might be able to just download a lot right now and right here and find the weight has left it off of you, because I could really grill you, but I'll be gentle.
Oh, snap.
But what was I going to ask? Oh, well, obviously you're good at keeping those secrets, right? Because if you continue to have people that who trust you, obviously you're not out there putting the word out, and then because sooner or later people find out about that, right? When somebody spills the beans.
Yeah, it's hard. It's good. It's just your brain goes to places, and you're like quiet. Yeah. You know. So it's.
But you know what? Let me. Oh boy, this is going to be a good one. I've been very excited to do this for a long time, because. Some of this, I mean, obviously, I definitely want to know all about your adolescence, and we'll get to that. But, you know, I do like to do some ricocheting back and forth, as you probably know from the episodes that you listen to. But now we have brought up the idea of secrets, since I am here with a very sex positive person who is made it their business to be professional and all knowing. Shall we say all knowing? Omnipotent? Omniscient? Omniscient.
Pure facade.
Okay.
Pure facade. All right. But yes.
Well, it's sort of like an expanding universe, right? I feel like sexuality could be like an expanding universe world where you can't ever know everything in a good way.
It is expanding in the way that the universe is expanding, and it's getting faster.
Yes.
The amount of epiphanies you can have and the knowledge you can find about sexuality and relationships and love, because that's all in the realm
absolutely.
Of things that I am fascinated with. It's inexhaustible, you know?
Oh, I would agree. And by the way, if I start asking stuff that you get asked in interviews all the time, you can just tell me to go F off. Also, we do curse on the show, so I'm not sure why I just said F instead of fuck. But here's the question. You know, we're talking about keeping secrets. You're talking about keeping other people's secrets. Might as well ask this while it's on my mind, in our mind collectively. How do you feel about keeping secrets in relationships, in terms of like what secrets are appropriate, what secrets not specifically, but you know what I mean? Like, intimacy is so fragile and it's so different from one person to another. And some people believe in full transparency in a relationship and this brutal kind of honesty, and other people end up keeping a lot of things from their partners. Thoughts on that?
You're talking about keeping secrets from the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I jumped from you keeping other people's secrets to the idea of secrets in a relationship, in a marriage, in dating, anything, any kind of sexual or romantic relationship. That's just something that comes up for people a lot, right? Is some people keep big secrets from each other. Some people say they don't keep any secrets. What do you think about that? I mean, obviously, it's probably to each their own, but... it's how do you navigate that world?
I love how much of relationships and all these things are really, like, you can do research and it can tell you what is, but that's not going to tell you what's best. And that's such a personal choice. Personally, I find that honesty is the best policy. And I'm all about, like, I'm transparent to the point where it's annoying to people.
I think I'm like that too.
Yeah. And then,
hence this podcast. Yeah. And hence your podcast.
Right. Like, we talk a lot. We like talking. Yeah. We like processing.
I can't not. But there's something nice about that, because I do feel like, I know there's, especially generationally, it feels like people's parents, and certainly there, it depends on how you're raised and stuff, but I think there is this sort of, especially sometimes female passive aggressive quality that's completely bred. It's not like innate. Mm-hmm. That is this sort of don't say what you really mean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, make someone guess or it. Yeah. And that's a really hard thing for anyone, whether you're in a gay or straight relationship or you're a man or a woman experiencing that from your partner. That's such an impossible game. Like, no one wins that game, but it's really hard to let go of that behavior. But I feel like, I want to say, and maybe there are, you know, guys I've dated out there who would disagree, but I feel like I do try to be as transparent as possible. And mm-hmm. also, I have no choice. Like, my emotions are all over my face. Mm-hmm. If I'm upset about something, it's so obvious. There's no point in me saying, like, nothing, I'm fine. There's no point. It's going to all come out.
When you say nothing, I'm fine, it's with the tone of,
I'm so furious right now. Yeah. So it just comes out so fast. Like, there is no even room for nothing, I'm fine. I might even open my mouth to say nothing, I'm fine. And then everything that's bothering me will pour out. I have no, it's not like, it just happens to me.
Yeah. No, it's okay. When it comes to honesty, and then, because this is where, like, my brain goes to the biggest thing, where it's like, when you go to honesty, and then there's, are we being honest about our past? Are we being honest, wanting to be honest about our feelings? Or is it about our desires, needs, and wants? I mean, which area of yourself? Because there's so much. The mistake, I think, is when people overprocess or just constantly talking about it, and just, like, beat something to death because they feel like they need to talk about it and be so honest.
Right.
I find that to identify your core needs and wants that fulfill you, and if you're not getting those fulfilled in a relationship and are not expressing that, even if it feels like they should freaking figure it out.
Right.
Jackass. Because, like, I am no better at relationships than the average person, I feel like. But I work on it constantly. Like,
and isn't that something kind of great? I mean, it's, I think that's why people, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I feel like that's one of the, like, people love that Oprah struggles with her weight, as an example, because she's not perfect. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of you just, like, being high on a mountaintop where you're looking down at everything and you have this bird's eye view and you've got it all figured out, I don't know that it would be as, I don't know that you would be as engaging as the person who's able to say, I'm just in it like everybody else. We're all in it together.
Yeah, there's this fundamental flaw with the expert model that's really bothered me. Like, even from, like, the first time, like, Chris Hardwick was just like, podcast? And I was like, yes. He's like, you're an expert. And I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are.
Right.
And I was like, why is everyone calling me an expert? Like, okay, there is at some point where you know enough and you can speak from a certain point of view that you can kind of be looked at as maybe this person has stuff to draw on that is helpful. Sure. But, like, therapists, like, I know lots of therapists, psychologists, people who should know everything about all the feelings, they're just as screwed up as the rest of us. They and, like, having, if anything, knowing more about all the stuff just makes it harder.
Yeah.
You know, but people ask, like, oh, anyone you date must be totally freaked out and intimidated by you. It's like, no, I'm freaked out. They're fine.
Right.
So, yeah, Oprah, me and Oprah.
You and Oprah. I just compared you. I did definitely draw a parallel between you and Oprah. There's no question about that. But it's just so tricky because I feel like, again, honestly, speaking of fears, like, my biggest fear is that I'm just going to traipse over, like, shit that you've talked about in so many other places. But
endlessly,
this is our first time meeting and being in person together. Yeah. But I mean, like, when you keep all of those things that you said about secrets are true. I do feel like I mean, what about all these, the sort of potential situations? And there, oh, by the way, there's also just a lot of this floating around there, as there always is. Huh. But in my friendship ether, there seems to be a lot of relationship drama right now, like more than usual. But you know how sometimes everybody's just kind of going along. And of course, you have a couple of friends who are in the throes or whatever's happening. But right now, there feels like there's so much uncertainty in so many of my friends, either singleness or togetherness. There's a lot of disruption in relationships where people thought that they trusted each other and then they've betrayed the other. Meanwhile, a single friend is interested in a married woman. Meanwhile, somebody else is like dating somebody who's wants a polyamorous relationship and they don't. And there's just a lot of cosmic grumbling in the relationship front in my circle, whatever that circle is, because none of these people know each other. But there's just seems like there's a lot of disruption. And I find myself in a place where I am so lone wolfing it. Like, I'm so retreating from all of that. Like, yep, I just want to be alone for the rest of my life. I don't want to see any of that.
You said lone wolfing is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm a lone wolf a little
bit. I am too. And both my parents are. They never remarried after they split up.
Oh, really?
And my mom never really had another relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that's right or that that's an answer. But sometimes when that kind of disarray is happening and that chaos all around you, there is this feeling of like, well, I'll end up in one of these scenarios at some point soon if I'm in a serious committed relationship. So why am I even going to, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to be the person who breaks the other person's heart? Because after 10 years in a relationship and the sex is not there and there isn't honesty happening, I'm going to cheat on them or they're going to cheat on me or we're never going to do any of that, but something else is going to decay. Like, it's just the chaos is breeding this kind of negative perspective in me right now.
Totally. Okay, when I say lone wolf, I'm just more like, I'm dabble in terms of my socializing. Like, I'm biased in that I value partnership very much. There's me, the person who feels like I need to be some sort of like, I'm going to now be really objective about all this. And me who's like, OMG, girl! But truly, relationships are difficult, but they're incredibly rewarding. You kind of know that. That's sort of the spiel. And I know that when your community, because last year, like everybody that I knew was going through some drama, it feels like the world, like just like the system is broken. It just feels like, how can this even ever? Yes,
that's very much the feeling that seems pervasive right now for me with my friends.
Right. I find that in the choosing of the person that you decide to align yourself with in a relationship to develop, because I mean, relationships are about developing yourself, developing each other, having good times, encouragement. Like, there's so much that you can get out of partnership. And I find that, like, I just think of like everyone on earth right now is like part of, like, we're sort of like, you know, class of 2013 right now. Like, everyone who's alive right now won't be alive in 200 years. Like,
Not entirely. No, I'm just kidding.
Science and stuff.
You never know. I mean, you never know, guys.
That guy with the beard, Aubrey de Grey, he's figuring it out.
Yeah. And also, we'll at some point reach, what is that thing that I always forget the name of, where artificial intelligence becomes intelligent? And I always forget that.
Scary stuff?
Yeah. That's I always forget what that is, which is so funny because I'm obsessed with it. It's like a very new agey sounding term, but really it means like artificial intelligence becomes intelligent.
I want to know download our memories.
But please continue to talk while I quickly look it up, because I can't believe it's like I'm having aphasia over one of my most favorite words and ideas.
No, I can't wait till we're immortal and then all of our relationship drama can just keep on happening until the end of time.
Oh, yes. Listen, that's what I think when I see vampire, right? People talk about that when they see vampire movies. They're like, oh my God, you could never be with someone. Or I can't believe I'm about to say this. Mormons versus vampires, both potentially live forever and pick partners that they're going to have forever, whether it's because they made vampires or because they got sealed in the temple. But those are two examples of people who, I just described vampires as people as if they really exist. who essentially believe that you're tied to someone for eternity, not this life, And some people believe, like, oh, you go to heaven, like, when you get married, you say, till death do us part. Not Mormons. You know, if you get sealed in the temple, you are saying, we will be together for all of eternity. All eternity. Of it. Together. Every day. Forever. You can't change your mind when you get to heaven.
Even the weekend.
Exactly.
This is hard, Janet.
I know. This is really, like, I should have come up with, like, a list of things to cover instead of... The brain explosion I'm having.
Like, I have my whole purse of adolescent goodies. But when we talk about relationships, it's choosing, like, having conversations and sort of setting the expectations early on and knowing what your values are. Like, why? Like, every single person who chooses to be in a relationship is choosing for different reasons.
Right.
Like, sure, okay. Like, I was, I mean, talk about my teenage years. Like, I watched every romantic comedy ever and loved the whole, like, and then we lived happily ever after.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is, like, too, and I want to obviously get into what your role models were and what your you Meg know what Ryan, your parents were like Sandra what Bullock. Your parents were like oh. and what your but also what yeah what you're sort of surrounding yourself with yeah. In your cultural upbringing but also, you know, like the super Freudian kind of, like, what were your parents like.
Yeah, all that stuff. So you want to get into me, or, like, you want me to answer the question about, like, all relationships ever?
Whatever excites you the most right now.
Now, I just want to say, since you just said that everybody in your community right now is, like, having really hard times.
And but by the way, guys, not everybody. I don't want you guys to comb through your mind and think, who are the people that Janet has mentioned on the podcast? You know, I know a lot of people. We're very blessed in this environment because we get to see hundreds of people who are amazing. The singularity. I'm so sorry. But the singularity is when artificial intelligence becomes self-aware. Yeah.
That sounds religious and stuff.
I know. It's basically a kind of religion. Oh. Continue.
I know it can feel like, oh my God, and maybe you're just in a phase in your life like, oh, I don't want to be in a relationship, so I don't want to do that. I mean, I've been in really hard relationships and I've been in amazing relationships. And, like, I had these role models when I was a teenager. I worked at a costume shop called Make Believe Costumes in Santa Monica. And great friends with the owners, the people who work there. And Paige and her husband were, like, one married couple in their 60s. And Ruth and Jan were another couple. And both the women worked there. And, like, I was just having relationship drama. I was, like, 16 at the time in, like, a two-year relationship. I'm just like, oh. And I was like, Paige.
I've said this before on the podcast when people say they were with someone for that long when they were that young. But 2 years is an eternity to be with someone when you're 16.
Yeah, oh, my God.
A lifetime.
My relationship math. Yeah. Like, I started at 13 and just kept going. It was intense. But I asked Paige. I was like, Paige, is marriage easy or difficult? And she's like, oh, my God, Sandra, it's the hardest thing ever. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard. Like, it's the hardest. And I was like, oh, God. Because my partner at the time, and we were talking about, like, maybe, you know, Gigi was like, oh, we are going to be together till the end of time.
Right.
And do I want that? Should I feel bad that I don't want that, or that I'm hesitant about that? Like, why don't I want, do I want that? I do. I want that. But it's scary. Like, all the things. Mm-hmm. And then.
And 16.
And 16. And the next day I asked.
And that's when you feel the most like that. That's when you're like, for me anyway, I was the most like, I think this person is the person I'm supposed to grow old with, because there was this, there was an innocence there that doesn't exist necessarily.
It's like you're taught.
Yeah.
I'm like gripping my microphone.
I love it.
And then I asked Ruth the next day, I'm like, Ruth, tell me about marriage. Is it easy or hard? She's like, it's really easy. Like it's effortless. And I sat with that, and, like, through the years, I've watched them, and it's really, it's about who you choose and the chemistry you have.
And who you are, right? I mean, if you're somebody who's just conditioned or whatever, whether it's in your genes or it's in your upbringing, to sort of fuss over everything or to make things hard for yourself or whatever, then that might just be part of your character, and, like, things are a lot of work for you in general. True. And then other people who just don't view work in the same way or don't make things complicated in the same way.
There are lots of resources in terms of knowledge and adding wisdom to your brain to help process things differently. And I thrive when I reach out for resources when I'm struggling. One thing that I love, my friend Kate, who's a therapist, and we were talking recently, and she was talking about how in relationship models, the one way you can look at the people that you date and partner with is that they're an opportunity for a corrective experience. That's why we draw people into our lives who who might have great characteristics and ones that reflect our past and other people we've struggled with. And every time you're with someone like that, you get the opportunity to grow and to heal. And some of us just keep doing the same stuff over and
sure,
over again.
Sure. Patterns, good old patterns.
Oh, they're so fun.
They're so comfortable for humans, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of known versus the unknown, choosing the known, even if right. the known isn't the best for you.
Yeah. But then like I'll do research on patterns. I'm like, what are these patterns? And then, you know, humans will see patterns where there are no patterns, and then we won't see patterns that are actually there. And
ooh, I love pattern. That. That's so true.
So it's like our perception is so flawed. Like we think we see everything, but there's so much we don't know that it's happening. That's why like in the like sex and love nerding that I do, it's just like I can never just sit somewhere and be like, this is my knowledge. Let right. me now write the book. It's like I'm always learning.
Yeah.
Always new things. So yeah. Anyway. Hi, how's it
well,
going?
Well, it's interesting. I'm great, thanks. And it's interesting, though, that you, and I can't, this sounds very, like, grilling, but it's interesting that you use them. Those are two beautiful, sterling examples of having these two women side by side of the same kind of age range in this workplace environment where, you know, maybe there is some kind of, like, lovely maternal relationship happening, but also, like, maternal and peer at the same time, mm-hmm. which creates this kind of wonderful almost like emotional personal mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about career and professional mentors, mm-hmm. which I always sort of giggled at because I've never been in a career where like actually calling someone a mentor would have made sense to me. It just mm-hmm. seemed so like rigid and like, oh, my mentor. But I have great respect for the idea of mentors. And I also, so that the idea of like having those people who are mentors for you in your personal life, in mm-hmm. your emotional life, even that maybe at a job of yours that just mm-hmm. so happens you benefit from that. But that what you know the fact that you answered about those two women they're modeling for you. Now I really got to ask what your parents oh. were like. Were your parents together? Were they divorced? Did they remarry?
My parents have been together and are still together.
And have you already like just completely delved into all of that? Like, okay, so I have then my
no.
Freudian sample is a couple who made it work versus somebody who's from a split home like me, whose Freudian sample is not only does it break, but you give up after it breaks.
God, I mean, just because your parents are still together doesn't necessarily mean it's a amazing example of how
certainly true
thriving relationship looks.
I was giving you the opportunity right. for you to have it be that if it is.
Now I haven't analyzed it a ton. There are so many ways to analyze your growing up. I mean, just attachment theory. Have you heard of attachment theory?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's like how the baby and the mom bond, and like yeah. if your mom's like stressed out all the time, then you freak out, and you know, and the fact that that can affect how you relate to a person and how you deal with conflict, it's like I just want to throw my mic down and be like, I give up,
right,
I'm done,
right?
Like if it was like solidified,
each little incremental part of some, you know, your mom didn't listen to enough, you know, the classical music in the womb, but then your teachers have this enormous effect, mm-hmm. and if your teachers did it, right. yeah, that if you could really just go, wow, everything affects everything. I'm screwed.
At the wrong time while you were looking at her when you were 2 months old,
sure, during a full moon, sure,
right? You will feel rejected every time a person shrinks,
right.
you know,
right.
like
right.
No, it's I don't know. I have a really positive attitude about relationships. My parents have a good friendship.
Mm-hmm.
They are not. Their relationship is not the model that I would like to live out with my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And. Ideally, I mean, on my show, you know, hey guys, if anybody listens to my show, what's up? How's it going?
Sex or Sandra.
It's like weird to run into you here. Like I identify polyamorous. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it's an exciting time for relationship structure because we have been in a strictly monogamous structure for so long in American culture. And there is like a huge boom in alternative relationship structures. But the thing is like, it's going to take another 50 years to really iron out. Like, people are figuring it out.
I agree with you. And I also think that, God, this is like, I wish we had like 50 hours and I wish I could edit this into like, like, okay, this is the section where we talked about this 8 different times, but now I'm just funneling it all into this section and I'm dropping all of this into this section and this and this. But, what did I just want to say? I just wanted to say that I feel like part of the problem with, people's inability to accept polyamorous relationships has so much to do with non-romance love stuff, but big picture society stuff where your self-worth is so tied to the idea of someone only wanting you, to the idea of specialness, and that you have to, I mean, I guess that is pretty relationship specific also, but this idea that like we're not conditioned or taught or bred, at least not as Americans, I don't think, to value ourselves and our core on a personal level and on a strong self-awareness and self-love level enough for, so then it becomes like relationships become about this person's going to make me feel this. This person's going to make me feel like I'm the only person in the world. This person, and so God forbid you be in a relationship where someone says, I, this is what I love about you. And this is how I love being with you. And this is the kind of sex I like having with you. Mm-hmm. But there's somebody else that is electric to me in a different way. And it has no bearing whatsoever on the value I place on what we have together. Mm-hmm. I don't think that people can accept that at this point. I mean, largely people feel like, no. That must mean something's wrong with me, or you don't like me enough. I'm not enough for you, kind of. You know what I mean? The self-worth thing is so tied to it intrinsically that I think that's part of the 50 years it's going to take.
I do all the nonverbal like faces where I'm like, oh my God. Like my face is just like, so many things. Self-worth, so difficult. I mean, we aren't taught to self-regulate or to self-love in the non-sexual sense, if you're listening and thinking naughty thoughts. I totally agree with you. It's difficult. Now, I would say that like you know, the generation of everyone on Earth right now, depending, you know, because our brains are partially formed, but like everything that you put in helps form us and adapt to the reality that is at hand. You know, like people, kids who are growing up now who like iPad and touch screens are totally normal. Totally normal. Like,
right.
Well, they're nothing existed before that. That's just what life is. It's like they're adapting to the now.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm like, wow, I feel really old now. I remember VHS.
Same. Yes. 100%.
So I feel like in a different moment in the human story, if you grow up and that is just the reality of how humans relate to each other, that would be totally normal. But because you have a bunch of people who that is not the way they were raised, and yet suddenly there's all this new information, there's tons of struggle. Now, I would say that poly is of every single person who's poly looks at it, does it differently. So like one person who wants to have like 5 different relationships that are all just as electric and on the same level, one, that's exhausting. Time management is dramatic and it's not necessarily feasible. And there is certain, here's the thing. I'm just kind of like, it's about all relationships. It's about being honest about how you feel deep down underneath all the layers of lying to yourself and trying to fit into what you should be feeling and shame and guilt and self-worth and needs and wants. It's like, no, really, what feels right to me?
But don't you think that we're so, it's like there's so much noise all the way down to that point is like the tiniest little whisper of a voice now with the way that we're, the way that we are sort of taught to understand lying to ourselves or worrying or overanalyzing, right? That people think, oh, I'm trying to get down to that little whisper of a voice at the bottom, but this journey that I'm taking is not even a journey. It's just like a me spiraling and like overthinking everything. Like that we think that analysis somehow will lead to instinct instead of replacing analysis with instinct. I don't even know what I just said.
No, yeah, like overanalyzing, it is like a downward spiral. And unless you have positive, authentic, like, input from outward, that's why, like, resources are good. Like, the book Mating in Captivity is fantastic for people who are in long-term partnerships where the erotic, mysterious charge has started to fizzle out. That's a common issue, but not necessarily the end of that. It's just that relationships are to be cultivated. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an everyday, you know, relationships are a garden. It's not, you water it, you give it love and you give it light. You don't just sort of like, okay, I'm married, done, moving on. That person's marriage is going to fall apart.
Agreed. And that's something that I think has, that I think about a lot and I talk about a lot with people in relationships, which is that element of choice, that it's active, it's not passive. Totally. That every day has to be active and not passive. She's Sandra is fixing her adorable hair bun. One of two, might I add, that are quite adorable. Oh. But yeah, that you sort of that is like the easiest thing to sort of let slide after the people become comfortable. That it doesn't feel like there's a choice anymore, and it doesn't feel like there's a cultivation. And to your point, and that I like what you say about gardening too, because it allows for the sort of seasonal quality, a cyclical quality too, which is just because the ground's dry right now doesn't mean that there can't be some little shoots under there that you don't see that are going to come up.
Spring is coming.
Like that you sort of know, you understand that your relationship can be cyclical rather than one thing with an end, like a straight line versus like a circle where you can fall back in love with the same person that you thought you fell out of love with, but that you're married to and you're like, oh shit.
And falling in love for the second, third, and fourth time, it's really great.
Yeah.
Like it's excellent, because then you have like all the butterflies and excitement of falling in love with someone, but then you also know them, so there's that trust and you can kind of go deeper. It's one of the great, like I've fallen in love in like relationships where it'd been, you know, droughty for a while,
right?
And I don't know, it feels really good.
I could agree with you. I've done the same and agree. And that's something that I think comes with age and maturity and time and just sort of like living with yourself longer too. I could be wrong. It could be possible to sort of, But I think that there's that sort of a, that to me feels like one of the gifts that you get as you get older too, which is that I think a lot of us have this idea that when a relationship isn't working, that especially, you know, in this day and age, that means you should leave. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it does.
Oh.
But please.
I'm waving my finger around.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, we're getting so, I love when people can just really just nerd out on relationships.
I can nerd it up.
But the idea that...
This is basically like we ate pot brownies, but we did not eat pot brownies.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, ideas.
Yeah.
No, and I've thought about this a lot because in my younger... Okay, let's just lay it out. By the time I was in eighth grade, I had my first relationship. It lasted 7 months.
That is a long time.
It's a long
for
time.
Eighth grade.
But
relationship, like kissing, holding hands,
falling
not sex.
Being in love.
Right.
I was not having sex at the time.
Right.
That was the next year.
Great. Got it.
But I was deeply in love. And I had a 3-year relationship after that, and a 3-year relationship after that.
And don't you hate when people say that young people don't feel like can't experience love? I'm not saying. By the way, I was not saying that you don't experience love when you're younger. I was saying that like it's hard to be patient when you're younger and re-fall in love with someone after 5 years if you're only 17. But that the fear, we talked about this on the podcast before and all the time. But the love that you can feel when you're in eighth grade can be so profound and so moving and so intense. So all-encompassing,
but
in a way
framework
that many of us can't feel, you know, in their 30s and 40s and 50s, because we don't allow ourselves to be swept away, or we have all of these responsibilities,
all the fear,
and all the fear and all the baggage and all that stuff. So I 100% accept and embrace that you are deeply in love. I feel I've been in the same place. But you had a lot of long-term relationships. Okay, so 7 months, then 3 years, then 3 years.
Yeah, and there's no, I mean, I was the oldest of three. I am. Uh-huh. And
where is this taking place?
I grew up in Santa Monica.
Okay.
So I'm a local.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the oldest. I didn't have an older sister and I didn't have any role models. I had no framework for love, healthy relationships, good communication at all. And I was just like,
your parents are married, but they were just like friends and a quiet sort of marriage.
Yeah. I have my family is awesome. Like gregarious, great sense of humor, just loving. My parents are the most loving, warm, accepting people. Like I scored big time in terms of my parents. They both actually came from incredibly impoverished backgrounds, like neglect and poverty.
Mm.
My mom's from the Philippines, my dad's from Texas, and they met here in California. And it's remarkable because I didn't realize until I was older, but two people from different ends of the world, but still the same kind of like, the kind of like difficult sadness that comes with that.
Mm.
And then coming together and creating a family where it was just like we're going to do this freaking right. And they like just loved and cherished. And it was like the best. Love so, I mean, still a family with like, oh, goddamn.
Right, right.
But
you had a natural curiosity too, where you're able to say, you know, that you were looking, it sounds to me that you were looking around beyond, you know, the perimeters of like your close family life and just looking out and seeing like what's happening, who are my role models or like what models am I working off of in terms of sex and relationships.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you were saying? I don't want to put words in
your
mouth.
I don't even remember. No, I think it was, I think that.
Because you had no older sister, you had no.
I didn't have, so I didn't know. It's like when people are missing resources. Like one thing, I have a pet peeve about humans. It's that.
Just one?
We don't encourage each other enough. And we don't raise each other up enough. Like we're so worried about ourselves. Like there's not
enough. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Oh boy, you said that on the right podcast.
Oh, snap.
Tens of people right now, maybe even dozens, are saying, yes, Sandra, yes. This is, I like to think that this is a enough with people kind of a podcast.
So I don't even remember what my point was before. Like I do, when I get into this mode, like where I am, my brain is right now, like it is like I'm high. Cause it's like,
yeah,
I don't
it would
know.
Be so cool if you could see like some sort of like seismic chart of like what we've done and like how much it's been like, and then like, oh, circle around. Oh, no, hit that. Okay. Talked about that for a second and just ricocheted back over to blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. This is, I have it. I have it right now in my brain. Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready?
Never readier.
When it comes to love, the idea that you can only love one person, and if you feel anything for someone else, now sexual urge, that's just like that is a sub chapter to this, but I'm not going to get into that. But just feeling crushing, maybe feeling love for someone else on whatever levels, romantic or otherwise, that somehow like can cause shame and insecurity, like doubting your relationship, worrying, should I leave this person for that person?
Right.
Like all those things. And that's the stuff of legend. That's the stuff of movies.
Woody Allen movies, for sure.
All the stories, all the songs.
Yes.
And the truth is you can feel all that. And now sometimes when you feel something for someone else, it wakes up a part of you that was dormant.
Yes.
And it's a good sign.
Yeah.
That you're becoming more of yourself and, you know, maybe look at that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess it's just hard because so much, like when I was growing up in my teenage years, I was in relationships and I was deeply in love with other people at the same time. And I have always had relationships where I was crazy in love, just really like cared and was fully there, but then also in incredible pain because I loved other people too. And I didn't know how to sit with that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, a decade and a half later, I've finally forgiven myself for that and gone like, oh, that's just being human.
Yeah.
You know, and that was healthy.
Yeah.
I see. But I couldn't tell my partners that. So when you talk about honesty, it's like also like maybe what I feel is okay instead of like, oh, they'll freak out. Oh my God.
Yeah. But that's so, but again, that's really tough because, and I think maybe I've said this on the podcast before and I never like anyone to feel like they have to out their parents specifically, or, you know, sometimes I say, I feel like I'm telling my mom's story and that's not right. I should, you know, she should be able to tell her story or not, or have it not told at all. Mm-hmm. But I do think that without wanting to compromise my parents in any way, I do feel like I was raised by, that there were voices in my life. Let me just say that, even though it's completely transparent what I'm saying. There were voices in my life saying it's okay to love more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
But again, then you look all around you and when there is this sort of destructive element that people apply to that, that then, you know, gives you this sort of mixed message that it's not okay. And also, I would love to say that if I were in a deep, intense, intimate, beautiful relationship, that if someone said to me, I'm crazy about this other person,
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you about that. I don't want to go anywhere, but like, I'm so fixated on this person right now. I've been raised in the same zeitgeist that we've been talking about,
right?
Where I would go, oh no, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough, or I'm not,
yeah.
You know, that there's just this sense that there would be this sense of loss for me.
Like,
of,
don't leave.
Oh, I have to, and I'm an only child. So probably on top of that, I'd be like, I have to what? Share you in any kind of emotional way? That somehow that would feel threatening, that people feel threatened, that there is this sort of understanding that because we keep propagating this idea that it's one person at a time, that if someone has these profound feelings for someone else, that then means there's less of that for you, or that eventually that for you will disappear altogether and will be transferred onto that person or someone else.
Right. Oh, man. Okay. Yes. Bring up all sorts of things. Okay. Well, okay. This is my personal journey, and it's been really interesting because, like, oh, I feel all this shame and weird feelings about feelings, and I don't want to hurt the person I'm with, and like, oh, and, you know. And then I get to a point where I go, I'm going to explore this. And then, and that was like 2 years ago, and I've kind of been making all my mistakes, all of the mistakes. And I'm finding myself in a really funny period now where you forgive yourself, right? And you're like, oh, let me just be who I am. I just love people. And then, you know, the poly community is like, woo, high five, we got you now. And like, you know, because they're great fun, good people. And as all people are, I'm non-judgmental. But then I'm at a
point. Oh, you're a people lover, as am I. I mean, that's very clear. I think that's one of the reasons that we're both just like, right now. All the synapses are firing. Remember when you were like, I hope we get along? remember like 5 years ago, yet also 30 minutes. Right? Because that's part of this sort of natural bubbling enthusiasm and this belief that people should raise each other up more and this belief of sort of like looking for the best in people and wanting to celebrate that. Yeah. Sometimes that means we get hurt more or differently because I feel like I trust more than maybe I don't know. Not that I should, but I do.
Yeah.
It is what it is. There isn't a should or shouldn't, but I definitely will walk into something thinking this person is the best person in the world until you know, it's like innocent until proven guilty. But then when the guilty part comes, I'm like, oh, that really hurts. Yeah. I really thought you were like, and I'm speaking of friendships and relationships, you know, and not to say that I don't do that to other people unknowingly or knowingly. I'm sure I do.
I find it really, let
somebody down, but
talking about mentorship and Hollywood and just career stuff, like I find it really hard to be like trusting and kind of like a wide open, like childlike mind all the time.
Right.
And then also like having a career is really hard.
Yes.
It's really weird.
100% yes. Please, how many times like someone like you and I would go walk out of a meeting and be like, I think I just sold a television show. I'm not sure, but cut to you never hear from that person again.
Totally. Like, are we best friends now? It's like, oh, no, that was just a meeting.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about feelings. No. Okay. So this is the thing. It's like, you know how they say like when you're pushing down a sexual urge or any of your needs or wants or down real deep, it always comes out somewhere else, you know, and you always, and sort of like you twist your insides just to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation where you're fighting yourself. Now that I've spent so much time being myself and dating and being really upfront with how I feel about people in general, I'm finding that my falling in love urges are totally diminished. Like I'm now relaxed in a place where I can just sort of kind of go, oh yeah, I have a crush on that person. Also, that means I should probably start pro wrestling, you know, because of that conversation, you know, like it just
I think, you know what, I feel like I parallel you in a lot of ways in that way also.
Oh, yeah?
That I think that there's that, well, for me, especially being like 2 years out of a long-term relationship, being in a space where like I really hadn't been single for like a total of like 13 years because one thing immediately bled into another, for better or for worse. And so to be in a place where you sort of feel like you have a different perspective, like you really are lone wolfing it and you are sort of taking care of yourself and able to be objective and not feel beholden and not be scared or feel shame or da da da, and just sort of, and that there is that takes away that sense of urgency a little bit. And I also don't have the like, oh my God, I better have a baby tomorrow kind of feeling. So I don't feel like I'm looking for the father of my child or like the woman that I want to, you know, make a baby with and be two moms with or whatever you happen to want or be. But I don't have that call inside of me. So there is this sort of opportunity to like really cherish the little nuggets and elements that kind of come out at you so that you don't, and without feeling like, what does this mean? What is this, you know, oh God, is this bad? Or is this the one? Or da, 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 da. I don't feel like those questions are coming up for me. In the same way, that was an amazing neck crack that I wish you guys would have heard. Hopefully it showed up on the mic.
Ow.
You all right?
Oh yeah, I'm fine.
This is the moment where we have to stop and rush you to the hospital because you actually broke your neck.
Wouldn't that be funny? No, it wouldn't.
No. Wouldn't it make a great story after? Kind of, but not worth it.
I mean, let's not saint ourselves. Speak for yourself. I overanalyze constantly.
No, please, I still do absolutely think about it.
But I think the feeling, I think self-acceptance that's come from, and it's funny you said 13 years, it was like 13 or 14 years of constant relationships and then about 2 years.
You were, for so young. I mean, how do you have, so you had a 3-year relationship, like what, freshman, sophomore, junior, basically, you're with that person for 3 years?
Oh, actually, funny enough, I brought high school yearbook.
I'm so excited.
I graduated early, a year early from high school.
Okay.
So my relationship did last all of high school in 3 years.
Okay.
And a little bit of college. I mean, like, I had some dating in ninth grade. I was on the wrestling team. Lots of boys on the wrestling team.
Wow, so it was a co-ed wrestling team.
It was. Oh my God, you want to see something?
Yes. Okay, can we, yes, I do. Feel free to either put your microphone. Yeah, no, you okay. Got everything. You got access to everything you need.
This is
good. Knee it. Knee it. I'm going to have to do that when I bring out this later because it requires both hands.
Okay. So this is the Santa Monica High School.
Wait, is that like the biggest yearbook I've ever seen?
We had, I think, almost 5,000 kids at our
school. Holy sh! My high school yearbook is definitely half that, but probably less than half that amount of pages.
Yeah, this is a pretty girthy tome. Tome.
Tom is definitely right.
Okay.
Unless you have something buried inside, then it's a tomb.
So this is my ninth grade varsity wrestling letter.
Look at you.
Look, it's the little icon is, I said icon. Look at
the little logo kind of identifying figure is wrestling, but it also really works for like sex and relationships because there's something very intimate and sweet about like someone hugging the other person from behind.
Oh, you see it.
As they kneel together.
Layers. Yeah. So yeah, varsity wrestling because 25 women showed up.
And wow. Even that's impressive. Like I'm just hard pressed to think of anyone in my high school, if any girl in my high school, and I could be totally wrong about this because everyone knows I didn't know anything about the athletics happening in my school. But, I don't think that anybody even would have had the moxie to show up for a wrestling.
Before you get too impressed.
All right. I'm pretty impressed. Might be too late.
There was a rumor in eighth grade the year before, apparently, that you could lose a lot of weight on the wrestling team.
Oh,
so you had all these guys on the wrestling team and then you had 25 chicks. I signed up because I wanted to kick some ass.
Love it.
I had a lot of rage. And I met my best friend, Yvette, who's been on my show a couple times. She's hilarious. And one other chick, Ishelle. And we all... basically within like a month or two, like all the women dropped out except for the three of us because we were like, yeah,
we're in it to win it.
Yeah. And this letter, literally, I didn't win a single wrestling match in my entire career, but somehow when you only have three women, you get a varsity wrestling.
It's fun that it is your, and you probably didn't realize this, but your name starts with an S. I hate to like be the first person to call that out, but how fun. Like I wouldn't have had a J.
Oh, it's true. What did your high school start with?
R.
Nah.
Worse, I went to two different high schools. Simultaneously, because they shared a campus. One was a college prep school and one was just a regular school. You guys know this already. But what you don't know is that we were the Rangers and the Penguins. Penguins definitely more charming. Neither one of them a strong incentive for me to be on a sports team.
Also, neither that intimidating.
Correct.
To the other team.
Correct.
We were bloodthirsty Vikings.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Samohai. But yeah. Oh, I brought my yearbook.
Not only is that a tome, but they really worked the fact that it looks like it's an enormous... if you were like, this is a book that was used in the first Harry Potter movie.
It totally like, looks like looks that, like right? That. Like antique-y.
Now I gotta take Viking. A picture of this. Okay.
And it says Sandra Dion. People used to sing to me the
from
Greece song.
Of course they did.
And it's, I feel funny about that considering my career choice.
It's true. Yeah, lousy with virginity, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I know Greece. I played Sandy.
Oh.
But it would be Sandy in your world.
Actually, in the Filipino side of the family, sometimes they go Sandeep.
See? Sandeep.
Yep. Yeah. But I am in the 11th and 12th grade year because they couldn't, the administration couldn't get it together and
great.
Could not figure out that I was a 12th grader when great. I was, but yeah.
When you, we say you graduated early, so did you take extra courses or did they just decide you were so smart you didn't need certain, like how'd that happen?
Eight classes wow. in one semester.
So you wanted to graduate early.
Like you made the decision. School. Did you hate high school? Because I hated high school.
I didn't love it.
It was the worst time. It was. Yeah. High school was. Every time I walked onto campus, it was like
you got that
a
feeling.
Hand around my throat, just like.
Yeah. I don't know if it was. I don't know if it was that for me. It depended on the year too. Mm-hmm. I definitely couldn't. I like enjoyed ditching class, and I couldn't wait for it to be over and stuff.
Oh, we had tons of security guards. It was very difficult to ditch class. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you hated it. So you wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
And so, you're like, is there a way to do that? Really had someone else set that precedent for you, or did you just ask the right questions? Because it would never even occur to me to graduate early. Like, that just, in my mind, it's like, I'm there 4 years.
You know, I was a huge rebel in terms of, like, I didn't want anyone telling me what to do ever. I mean, you know, oh, that's unique. But my dad kept encouraging me to graduate early just because by the time you're done with college, like, how are we in school till we're like 21? Like, that just seems weird. But at the time, my dad was just like, yeah, I get a head start in college. And for me, it was, well, I do want to just get out of here. Mm-hmm. So eventually I came around and I did some research. And really, if you just load up on classes during the summer and take night classes and show up for the AM class, you can get out a year early.
Oh, this actually has the amount of times you were tardy and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I explain this to some people?
Okay.
Okay. Overall, I just want everyone to know what is this beat literature?
Oh my
like
God,
the like best the beat poets?
Beat. Yes. Oh
that's
my God.
That's awesome.
Mr. Sawaya was the best.
Auto tech?
I took auto. It was great.
You're a badass. Intro to film. Love it. U.S. history, U.S. government, English, floral design.
That was a very handy
I'm
class.
So into this. They did not offer that. Commercial art. None of this was offered at my high school. Drawing. This is a really interesting, robust eight classes. Let's revisit. Beat literature, auto tech, intro to film 1 and 2, U.S. history, U.S. government, English, floral design, commercial art, and drawing.
Huh. Yeah.
Love it.
I was learning a lot. See,
get
I,
out of
I'm,
there.
People always give me a hard time about the nerd versus geek thing. Mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. like, I just love to learn. And oh my God, can I just mention...
Wait, what does that mean? Does that mean you were a geek or a nerd?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. People say like, oh...
I just sounded 70 years old.
If it's a topical focus, like sex or film or whatever...
Oh, so it's one
it's
thing
geeky.
That you... Oh, I thought that made you a nerd. That you were a nerd for something.
I've done extensive research into this.
She pushed up her invisible glasses just like I do sometimes, you guys.
Well, I mean, just for my research... geeks tends to be topic focused from what I've
okay,
been able
right,
to figure
right.
out.
A nerd,
nerd
just means
thing,
what? That you're
it
over.
Just permeates everything.
I see.
And I've just been into, like, I wasn't into drugs. I wasn't, you know, I mean, I wasn't like a bad kid.
I was a bad kid.
Oh, were you?
Bad and good. Graduated second in my class.
Ooh.
Did a lot of LSD.
Ah, I haven't done that one yet.
Oof, I don't know if you ever need to.
At least once, so I can understand for science.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Maybe I need to be there with you. Because nobody's done more than me. I want everyone to know, those of you who say that you let your daughters listen to this, and that you're saving these episodes for your daughters in the future, no one is condoning the use of LSD. But no one is. But also no one is saying that you can't or won't ever do drugs, because that's very unrealistic.
And also choose your company wisely and make sure you have a caretaking person who stays sober. In case you do
that.
Want to have a,
I would know, agree with that.
A walk on the wild side.
Look
how attractive I was. Awkward.
Look at how cute. You were adorable. I've seen worse. I've seen myself look worse when I was that age.
That was a lot of face, Janet. A lot of face.
I don't know. That's a great smile.
What's happening with the hair? I don't. What is that?
The hair
right
is a little bit boyish. The hair could be like, is that a boy or a girl? Nothing wrong with that.
I brought pictures of me because I went through photos, because this is the thing that really bugs me. It's like, I don't know if you get this, but when you talk about...
I was checking to see when you graduated.
Oh, yeah. 2000 mm-hmm. and stuff. like, do people, like, I was a tomboy, and you know, you say, like, oh, I was a nerd tomboy. Like, even the nerds didn't think I was cool. Like, it was like that. And, but when you say
no one thought you were cool?
I mean, like, I had friends. I mean, it's 5,000 people on a campus. Like, you find people to hang out
with. Don't you wonder what other people would say? Like, that's, but I wonder about that, too. And someone was saying this on the podcast, guys. Those of you who listen to the podcast, you know. Okay, I can't remember what this was, but, like, the idea of who you think you were versus, like, a random sampling of people who had an awareness of you, what would they have said? Like, I'm so curious what people around me from different circles would have described me as. I know I'd like to think someone would describe me as a nerd or a dork. No mm-hmm. one would. Mm-hmm. Everyone would be like, oh, she was goth, or like she was into theater, or like she was smart, or she was funny, or whatever.
That's true.
But I wonder, like, how much my own opinion of what was going on, my own perspective, how even right that is, or if I'm just like, thank God no one fact checks this podcast, because I've probably said so many things that I think are true that other people would be like, mm-hmm. that's absolutely categorically false.
Okay. Good call. Because these are labels now I'm giving myself after the fact. And at the time, I was more just lost. Mm. And like, I had this, I just loved things and I loved to learn stuff. And also, my parents were incredibly protective. So I just missed pop culture completely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, completely.
Even like at school, you wouldn't?
It just didn't click. Like, I don't know, something.
So when you say pop culture, it was like you weren't watching the television shows everyone was watching.
Like,
you
I wasn't weren't going allowed to movies. Watch The you Simpsons. I wasn't.
Right.
Like, I watched movies a little bit. Like, I.
What about music?
None of. Like, I hung out with the fun Catholic kids. I hung out with the Christian kids.
Uh huh.
And so they were into like Christian ska music.
Wow.
But like, I never got invited to concerts. None of my friends were into music. No one thought to talk to me about music, or like, I didn't have anyone that was like, music.
Right.
And so I just like, and as a kid, my parents only let me listen to classical and oldies. So I know all the lyrics to all the 50s bebop.
Right.
You know, like, that's it.
The Dirty Dancing soundtrack for the rest of us who were also into other things.
Oh.
Please, those are hardly deep cuts.
Right, exactly. Cuts. Right. So, no, truly, like, there is a part in my brain that's just sort of missed a lot.
But how do you feel about music now? And I'm always curious about, not to like nerd out on music, but sometimes I do with certain people on the podcast, but it was so important to me as a teenager and continues to be so emotionally important to me that I'm wondering for you, since you weren't as exposed to like what it feels like to be able to listen to The Cure talking about staring at pictures of someone when you are obsessed and saddened and your heart is broken because you're in love with someone and they don't love you back or whatever, that feels like such a crucial part of exploring those emotions at that age. I'm so interested in people who are like, no, I just listen to like musicals. Or classical music or whatever. I'm like, well, how did you get that stuff out? Because that's how I felt about music, was like, I need that stuff to like understand and process myself.
Like, I would listen to the radio, but of course you couldn't, like, unless you called the radio station and were hold for a long time, you wouldn't know who the band was. And so I could kind of like, I loved that song when it was popular, but after it went away, like, I didn't know what band that was, and I'd always forget. Okay. And there's, I think my mom had a sip of wine right when I was forming the part of your brain that where you can understand lyrics. Because any music past like 1963, like, I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
So like, I can't like Google, like, Shazam. Thank God for Shazam. I'm like, what are they saying? You know? And I know it's about feelings.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I'd listen to the radio and, you know, Boys to Men, I felt things. Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Right?
But in your case and mine with high school, it was easy to say goodbye to yesterday and move on to tomorrow.
Right. So I wasn't a nerd necessarily, but when I look back and I laugh at how like these girls I know like invited me to I didn't know what D&D was, but it was Star Trek role playing, tabletop role playing, and I had the best time in my entire life like at
I
doing that.
I love that.
And they never invited me back.
Oh, no. It was a oneer?
Yeah.
And you were going to be like, and that's what I did every
weekend. No, like, I just, like, I had such a hard time fitting in. I'm like one of those people who, like, kind of fit in enough in different groups, but I'm always sort of the outsider. Like, I kind of don't fit, but I love, but I don't necessarily fit. So I loved it, but, like, I laugh at the fact that they didn't invite me back. And I'd be like, so when are we playing? And like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, no, like, they were too cool for you. Yeah. Even the Star Trek people.
But, you know, I did have a partner. And we had good
times.
You
certainly did. So he was not at the school at the same time as you. Same age? Same school, same age? Like, is he in here right now?
Yeah, okay, like, so this is me in 11th grade.
Yeah.
And then we go over to the 12th grade section. That's me.
So funny that you're in both.
And
that makes me laugh.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's like a weird, like, in some movie, that would be like a really intrinsic plot to, like, finding out that you're, like, a killer or something. It would be like, wait a minute. Oh my God, there were two of you. This just proved that you were traveling in time. You were a time traveler.
No,
shh, you were in both grades at once.
Oh my God, this is
shocking and wonderful.
What's happening here? I'm flipping through.
It's interesting to see what people, and I know this isn't fun for those of you who can't see, but she just flipped past somebody who actually had their cap and their graduating gown in their senior picture. And I was like, it's an interesting choice. Like, what you decide to wear and kind of, I don't know. Anyway,
your picture. No, most people are just in, like, black tie affair. And this is my high school boyfriend.
Okay. Adorable.
I was really
a little bit of a devil beard. A little bit of a devil goatee.
Yeah, the goatee.
Yeah.
I've always had a thing for facial hair.
I do like certain... But do you feel that... So you're fine with the facial hair all the way up to and through the kissing? Because sometimes, like, the best looking beard in the world ends up being, like, the worst on your face.
Okay. So... Just like the downstairs hair, mm-hmm. when it comes to, like, trimming, there is the too short where it just hurts.
Yeah, because they're, like, basically bristles sticking straight out. Like, gentlemen, do not do this to your lady.
Especially when you're just starting to date someone and, you know, like, it's makeout
city. You're macking it and it's a slobber, and the slobber and the chafing is just so severe.
Yeah, the next day when you're just pink all raw, over, you're like, why?
Raw meat.
Why?
Yeah.
And then there's the too far where it's three-dimensional and it's, like, coming to get you, you know? It's just, it's got to be somewhere in there, like, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to just chill it out.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, so it takes a back seat to the action.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how I feel. It's a beautiful thing.
I don't disagree with what you're saying.
I had this amazing short love affair with this guy last year. We met at a party, and we were, like the two biggest dorks there, you know, just, like, being extra dorky. But anyway, and we were... And, oh, yeah, I was on a mission because I realized that my entire life of the mating dance in public, I never looked guys in the eye because I'd immediately, like, I have...
Like a dog. Yeah. Like dogs. It's a sign of aggression.
So last year, I finally overcame the urge to never look men in the eye at bars, at parties, because, like, I always had, like, friends. Like, I always dated friends. So it's not like I had to really, like, go out and seek out partners. But I was like, why don't guys hit on me? And I was like, oh, it's because I look like the biggest bitch who doesn't want to talk to anyone ever. So I was at a party.
Let's do some role playing. We're not on camera. But it's okay. So that's you not looking at me.
No, well, okay. If we're, like, if I'm, like... Where there's dancing and people are drinking, and I know, and you know when, like, people are on the prowl, like, everyone's looking, like, that's people being social.
Yeah,
I am so, it feels like National Geographic and everyone's checking each other out. I can't function.
Okay.
Because I know what's happening for everyone. And so it's almost like I'm romantically autistic, you know, like, mm-hmm. I can just look down.
It's a great way of putting it.
So it's just, but then I grew up dancing. Like, I was actually, I think I have pictures of me. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I just look down. But I'll dance. So, like, I'll have this, like, really confident dancer.
Great dancer, but not allowing anyone in to that experience.
Yeah.
But now you can look at me the way you look at someone.
So that adorable little dorky dancy, and it came from me looking at him in the eye for just a moment.
Yeah.
It came over to me. I was like, oh man, I'm scared.
It works.
And I remember feeling his beard, like, on the dance floor and being like, good job.
Wait a minute. You felt his beard on the dance floor?
Yeah,
you worked it into a dance move where you, like, reached out and, like, woo, gave it a little stroke just to kind of test it?
I get sensual.
It's pretty intimate to be, like, just meeting someone and already touching their facial hair. I wouldn't, I'm not above it, but.
I don't know what to do with my hands because, you know, like, do I power fit? So, like, I'll put my hand, like, I'll touch my own body while it's happening, but then that looks really strippery.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'll touch their shoulders. And then at some point, you just...
Interesting.
Like, it's affectionate.
I'm very interested in... I will quickly say, and this will come as no surprise to anyone, but I don't know that I've ever outed myself. I really love dancing, but for me, dancing, it's not because I'm self-conscious necessarily, because I don't think I'm a bad dancer. I mean, I took actual dance, and I sort of have always enjoyed dancing, but I love dancing, but like, I really love dorky dancing. I love dancing poorly on purpose because it makes me laugh. So it's my two favorite things is laughing and dancing happening at the same time. Wait a minute, back up. Dancing is not one of my favorite things. Laughing is maybe my favorite thing. So if you incorporate laughing into anything, it's probably going to be improved upon for me in my experience. So I love like anybody who's willing to dance with me where we can create like a scenario where you sort of start out with joke of like lassoing someone, but then it turns into like a lot of things you're acting out. Like it becomes charades. Like you're going, like maybe you're baking cookies and you found a way to turn that into a dance move. Again, anyone who listens to this podcast on a regular basis will be like, that comes as no surprise. But I love fake, like coming up with fake dance moves that really are just an activity. Anything like that where I'm dancing and I'm laughing at the same time is like the best feeling. So I love being a dork. I'm never going to like pick up somebody in this, in any kind of, and go have sex with them in that context. Not to say that that's a priority for me.
First of all, that party, like dorky dancing situation turned into... Because I was on a mission, like my friends and all the girls that I went with, like were like on board. They're like, oh, we're going to do it too. We're going to practice. And so we were all trying. And my goal of that evening was to be asked for my number because no one ever asked for my number. They don't look at anybody. And he asked me on a date. He wanted to take me out to dinner.
Love it.
So it was like, I felt beardy. Like I won something. Mm-hmm. But dorky dancing, what about the moment when the dorky dancing turns kind of sexy? Like, oh, this is fun in a way where I feel things.
Does it ever? Has it? I guess it does or would in the sense that like if I were doing it with someone that I was attracted to, I probably was attracted to them because they made me laugh anyway. So in that way, it is very flirtatious. Mm-hmm. Like it is flirtatious if there's somebody who's willing to participate in that ridiculous behavior with me and we're laughing together and I'm attracted to them, then I guess it could evolve into something, but like, I don't know that it ever, if the dancing itself for me would ever turn provocative. Oh. I don't think it ever would be like, I'm pretending like now we're doing all the things like we're pretending to jump rope, pretending to throw a football, pretending to hula hoop. Wait, the hula hooping is now I'm hula hooping right near you. Oh, now my butt is rubbing up against you. Yeah. There's like, I don't think that that's ever happened to me. Oh. By the way, I've probably been dancing like 3 times in the last 5 years. It's not like I'm doing this every weekend. And we're exploring that. That's not happening. Yeah.
I feel committed. Like this needs to be a field trip now.
I would love to do that with you. Uh-huh. I will totally. But that's the problem is like even the places I've gone and danced are like Cool Up and June from like the UCB community, like girlfriends of mine who've done the podcast who are awesome dancers who have taken like S Factor classes and stuff like that. But you're still in a room full of comedians. So it's still safe. Like if I went to like a club and did what I just described, I'd be very interested to see who responded. But maybe that's how a good way to like, speaking of mating in public or like the sort of National Geographic of all, like I would only attract someone that I would be interested in because no one that I wouldn't be attracted to would be attracted to me. They would be like, that's a freak. She's an idiot.
True.
She needs to be somewhere else.
When they,
and also, why isn't she wearing a tiny tube skirt and really high heels like every other woman here?
Oh, so difficult. It's true. But you know that that's a special person when they're like, I want to pick up with that girl thrown down.
Yeah.
You know that that's a special
I moment. Totally want to act like I'm picking vegetables out of a garden with her on the dance floor.
Oh, see, that to me is just the makings of a great romantic comedy moment.
I don't disagree with you, but if done improperly, it's also the makings of a romantic comedy moment where people are like, ugh, no one would ever do that. Like, can Cameron Diaz trip over one more thing in this movie and still be adorable?
See, but that I think is the point of view of the movie. And I like when things change instead of the olden days where like, we're going to judge that person's dumb and socially inept and be like, no, they're awesome. But not that many people get it. Except for that person. And then love ensues. The end. Happy.
That's true. That's a really good... That's the point of that structure, I think. You're right. That it creates that sort of like... Exactly what we just said about being on the dance floor and like finding someone that you have a connection with that stretches beyond physical, I guess.
I'm just so into authenticity, you know? Like, laugh with me, guys, not at me.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. Authenticity. I've said this on the podcast before, I'm sure. And by the way, if there's one thing I've said on the podcast before, it's the term I've said this on the podcast before. I say that every single episode. But Jesse Thorne had this button that he came out with. God, from, you know who Jesse is from Maximum Fun and like Sound of Young America, oh, now called.
I know of this person.
Yeah. So he came out with this little pin years and years ago, like 10 years ago. And it's this beautiful little illustration of just the top halves, like the heads and the arms of two kittens. And the two kittens are hugging each other. And then underneath it, it says the new sincerity. And his whole point was like, sometimes two kittens hugging are really cute. It's not ironic. It's not like a 70s trapper keeper that you only have because isn't it funny that this was something someone cared about? And that's sort of like that predates like the Icon has cheeseburger sort of thing too, where everyone's like, the internet is embracing all the cuteness in the world. I feel like he really like figured that out in advance of everyone else in the comedy world, because at the time everything was only ironic and snarky. And so I liked that he was like, no, sometimes you just like it because you like it. And I'm a big proponent of that. As much as I like being snarky, I'm a big proponent of like, well, please, my disclaimer on the Nerdist thing says, warning, this podcast contains sincerity. Because I felt I needed to warn everyone that it's not going to be a snarky podcast, even though it's on the Nerdist Network.
Right. Oh my God, I got so many.
Not to say yours is.
Huh?
Not to say that yours is snarky.
Oh, definitely not. No, I get... You know, it's like how you try and please everyone, but no one gets pleased. Mm-hmm. I would say that doing my podcast, one, people are either mad that there's not enough educational content in an episode, or are mad that there's not enough comedic content in an episode. And when it comes to like, you know, like, oh, we're going to try and be funny. It's like, well, like we're having a good time, but this is also about really digging deep.
Sure.
Into sex and love and relationships. It's just funny because it's like people are like, I'm expecting, you know, snark.
Right.
Like, I want to laugh and in a way where we're like, and it's like, no. Also feelings.
Yeah. Feelings.
And then people who are like, feelings. They're like, why did you laugh at that thing? It's like, because I'm also trying to be lighthearted and
right.
have a good time and right. accept my humanity, as should you.
Interesting. Guys? You've got to get plenty of people who think it's just right. The Goldilockses out there who have found that your porridge is the best and that it is neither too hot nor too cold.
They're up in my porridge.
Yeah, they're all up in your porridge. You know what I'm talking about, girl.
Eat it up. Yum, yum. But it's just funny.
I think we're at the point where I could go on forever, but we are at 1:13 and I still need to do these games.
Oh, no.
So here's what's going to happen now. Well, first of all, I can continue to talk to you about your teenagerhood if there are things that we haven't touched upon. I'm very excited about many of the things that we did talk about. I smell a please have Sandra back on the podcast series of requests from people. I'd be delighted to do so and have a follow-up episode. As well, I see a lot of pictures that I'm going to want to. Disneyland.
Oh, I found bad haircuts throughout the ages.
Oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be hard to pick which ones of these to put on the Facebook page and so forth.
There were stories. Oh, yeah, we didn't get into a million things, but awkward short haircut. I look like a boy. You know,
you're
just
so cute though, still.
All the sexual tension at my 12th grade, 12th. Birthday party.
I was going to say, there's no way that you're in 12th grade.
12 years old.
What's the sexual tension at your 12-year-old birthday party?
It's just funny to remember a time in your life when at the moment you're like, oh my God, the boys at my party, like, oh my God, I like them and I'm crushing out and like, oh, do they like me too? And like, you look at the pictures, you're like, I am an infant. Like, how is this possible?
But it was real.
It was so real.
It was just as real then. I know. Same. When I look at pictures of like remembering the feelings that I had, like slow dancing with someone at their bar mitzvah and being like, this is the most intense ache I've ever had, good or bad. Like,
oh, the bar mitzvah crushes.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Some of them lasted. Some of them lasted. Some of them came to fruition later in life. Okay, let's do this will actually get us a couple more teenage era questions out of you.
Okay.
Answers, I should say. So let me have you pick a color.
Green.
G-R-E-E-N. Number?
6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Another number?
2.
1, 2. One less number?
5.
Okay. 5 is describe your most we were just talking about bad hairstyles. Describe your most regrettable fashion choice as a teenager.
Oh.
Fashion. That could mean clothes, could mean hair, could mean accessories.
Oh my God. I hate to say preparing, but just looking through all the pictures and realizing what a tomboy I was. Like I knew I was a tomboy, but I think looking at like how boyish my clothing was. Oh my God. Like I can't choose like all ever.
Here's something that here, I'm going to bring up something.
Okay.
In my day, and I'm older than you are, but in my day, we did a lot of cutting the collars out of t-shirts, a lot of cutting the collars out. So I have a lot of pictures of me with like, if it's a regular t-shirt, I guess they hadn't figured out like there was no American Apparel, et cetera. So you would get these t-shirts that were like really stiff, like a concert t-shirt or something. And it felt like you're being choked. So there was a lot of people like cutting out collars, and you don't see that as much now, but that like sort of wasn't really falling off your shoulder. Older, really, it was just sort of like a weird, and then it would like age weird when you washed it because it was not hemmed anymore.
It wasn't the good kind of like they didn't know how to cut.
It wasn't
well.
Flash dance, yeah.
Okay, but it was like
so. That's an example for me that popped into my head when I thought about like specific fashion choices.
I have a moment in my life. I know what it is. I was a chubby kid, and when I hit puberty, like I definitely get melted a bit, not a lot, but a bit. But in fifth grade, so I was like 10, so it was just right at the budding point. I had just went from Catholic school to like mid-year. I actually went from Catholic school to public school. Like I transitioned, and I didn't know how to dress myself because I was always in uniforms. So no music knowledge, nothing. No fashion knowledge, nothing. And leggings were really in, so I was wearing black leggings, and then midriff t-shirts were really in. So it's like a wide set white t-shirt, like short sleeve t-shirt, and like a watch across, just like a giant Rolex watch across. But like I think some belly was showing, and then so like 10-year-old body, chubby as fuck, leggings, midriff showing. Like there is
that's
nothing.
A really good answer.
It's wrong.
It's a really good answer.
Why did my parents allow that?
I think that too with a lot of, I mean, yeah, a lot of things where I'm like, I recognize that that was the style of the time, but that doesn't mean that any of us should have been wearing it for like what our body types were or whatever. But at the same time, you also want to go, well, listen, if somebody who has the quote unquote inappropriate body type feels like $1 million wearing something that everyone else says, I don't think that looks good. Great, wear
more
it.
Power
who
to
cares?
Them.
Yeah, but a lot of us were wearing things and not feeling great about how we looked.
I had no concept.
Let's do another one. I like where we're going with this.
Pink.
P-I-N-K. You handled that pressure
one.
Very well. One.
Eight.
One, two, three, four. Whoa.
Oh no, she was
eruption.
Go.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Six.
What if you picked five again? You've forgotten already. How old were you when you had your first kiss?
Oh,
I'm
man.
Going with, because I've this question has come up before, not necessarily in fortune teller / cootie catcher form, but in life on the podcast. It could be your first kiss, like your first real kiss from when you were like pretty young, or your first like French kiss, like super, super sexy kiss, or both.
Oh, no, I remember my first kiss, and I didn't realize it was my first kiss at the time because I didn't even, it was amazing. I was in seventh grade, I think the summer after seventh grade, so I was 12, and this guy had invited me, another chick, and another guy over to his house, and he just moved away, so it was kind of like the, let's keep in contact, guys, and I had a huge crush on both the boys, and I thought they both liked the other girl. And we just, I don't know why our parents let us just run rampant through this house with no parents around. And we were just like playing truth or dare.
What a great feeling though.
Yeah, it was free. And somehow I ended up cuddling with the boy on one of the boys on the couch. He was redheaded. His name's Christopher Crenshaw. He's redheaded. He had a dog named Arizona. If you know where he is, please let me know because I cannot find him anywhere.
These are the opportunities right here. I'll go further and say that I seriously miss my old boss from Pottery Barn from when I was 20. Her name is Hillary Carroll. Can't find her either, guys. If anyone knows a Hillary Carroll living in San Francisco, she may have gotten married. I can't believe I just did that. Please continue.
Also, Jim from Grass.
Turns into a misconnections podcast. Or also, there was a guy that I saw at the coffee shop down on the corner. He was holding a newspaper. No. Okay, Christopher
Crenshaw.
Crenshaw,
total redhead. So I remember looking, well, you just asked what age, 12, but I remember looking at him and him looking at me, and it wasn't like there was no pre-communication. I had no sense that he liked me, and we just kissed, and it was...
That's wonderful.
And it was slightly open mouth, not a lot of tongue at all. It was just soft. And we just sort of pulled back, went back to cuddling. We were talking with people and like never spoken of again.
I love it. That's like a Wonder Years moment.
Yeah, it was
mysterious. It's a great moment in time. Yeah. But a great snapshot moment.
Totally sober too.
Great. We were 12.
Well, you know, some 12-year-olds.
That's true. So that's true. All right, let's get into some MASH. Now, I do try to do MASH. MASH questions and categories that I think that the guest like specifically might be interested in. First, I'm going to write in Sandra.
I'm hitting her right now. I'm just smashing her a little bit.
With excitement.
Because I haven't played MASH since Girl Scouts.
Well.
But I was a Girl Scout for 13 years.
Oh, someone else was that I just talked to.
Who? We should be friends.
Casey Wilson.
I'll have to.
She's on Happy Endings. Interesting. Well, get ready, because...
Memories. I don't actually remember how to play very well.
I'm going to start out with... I like to make up categories. You'll give me three of each thing, and then we'll do a process of elimination by numbers, and like you'll end up with one of each of the categories.
Okay.
So my first question is going to be... wow, this is rough. I mean, we have like all the basics, like we'll start with a basic. Give me three fantasy locations that you have, that you live. Like, could be Paris, could be...
Oh, okay. I should be more prepared for this. I listened to the pageant episode.
Okay. It's all off the top of your head. It's even better. Everyone remembers that Padgett took a really long time to come up with stuff and at one point called Jason Schwartzman Adam Schwartzman. It's one of my favorite moments, one of my favorite all-time moments on the JV Club.
Okay. Wait for it. Tahiti.
Great.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
No, I don't think anyone said Santa Fe up to this point, but I love Santa Fe. Great choice.
I have a long history with New Mexico.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. One of my closest family friends was kind of like a mentor to me, and she had an earth ship made out of recycled tires and hay and adobe, running off solar power and like all the magical earth friendly things in the middle of nowhere, just south of Taos, New Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm pointing at the Santa Fe poster.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And she'd pick me up at Lamy Station near, Santa Fe. I'd ride the train every summer.
That's very cool.
I learned a lot about myself then.
I love Santa Fe. That's a good place to learn about yourself. Okay, one more.
Salzburg, Austria.
Oh, I think you've picked three things no one has ever picked before. I'm going to start using words that make sense. Just a second. Just give me some time. Okay. What about three... This is tough. I'm so interested. I'm so fascinated by all the relationships we talked about that I'm like wanting to come up with interesting categories that don't necessarily make sense for what MASH usually is. What about three careers? Three careers that are not anything close to what you do now, whether or not, you know, it's like the fantasy version. So it's not like the hard, you know.
Okay.
Ooh.
I would say folk rock star.
Love it.
Oh God, all the things. I would say stunt woman.
Oh, that's cool. That wrestler's coming out to play right now.
I have read three pro wrestlers separately in the last like 3 months.
Interesting.
And we talk about like just like I'm incredibly like I'm like a feisty puppy a lot, so it just seems like, oh, why did that not happen?
Can
why
I tell
am
you
I
something?
Not a, huh?
I have a friend who's about to become a female professional wrestler. I gotta tell you about it offline because it's top secret.
Very exciting.
Okay, stunt woman.
Okay, I mean, oh, I love travel. Travel is one of my deepest things. I don't want to be like a travel. I get Wait for it. Mm-hmm. It's. I would, it's like, it's not.
By all means, make up a job too. Fine with me.
Adventure travel show host.
Great. And exactly the way you want to do it. Okay. With nothing about it.
Okay. All okay, right. You know what? Screw that. Steve
Woman? Yeah. Yeah.
Action star. Great. Does my own stunts.
Great.
Hello.
Great.
Kicks
that's
the ass.
That's a great, empowered, also totally okay if you just want to be a stunt woman, but I love that you want to be the action star who does your own stunts. It's fantastic. okay, what about three, I'm bouncing off of this idea of the traveling and the action star. What about three modes of transport that are unconventional that you get to do? Like, you only travel by hot air balloon, or?
Burning Man, art car, magic carpet.
Art car, magic carpet.
Yeah, because then you have a steering wheel, and then it's a person, and it's slightly wavy.
Perfect.
And all your friends can jump on. It's easy. It's really
fantastic.
Nice. Triceratops.
Great.
And, ooh, wait. Okay. Yeah, you got to have some sort of giant animal that you can ride around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Flying Triceratops.
Great.
And this is fun, but you see, like, this is the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a lot of fun.
Yay, me too.
Also, my blood sugar is low in a way where I'm like, am I making any sense?
You're making a lot of sense in just the right way.
This is really hard. I feel like I just want to fly.
Mm-hmm. Totally
so,
fine, yeah.
It's really about the mechanism of in which I can fly.
Or you just have magic powers and you can fly by yourself in the air.
I want wings. Small wings so they travel and tuck in easily.
Great.
Wings.
Small wings.
Small wings.
Perfect.
All right, good.
Perfect. Okay, Triceratops reminded me of you can visit three different places in time.
Oh.
Which three?
Okay. Can I go into the future?
Sure.
Of course I can. This is MASH. You can do anything.
I'd like you to get more specific, era-wise. Yes, you can go into the future, but how far do you want
to
go?
Do I get to come back?
Yes, yes, yes. This is a visit.
Okay.
Visit.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not permanent.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm getting so tense. Okay. Did you
I think that's a side effect of MASH. You have to take the bad with the good.
I want to travel to 200 years from now.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
Great.
You know, just so you want some control.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Like the same place, just to see.
Okay.
This is the hardest part. How long do I get to stay?
As long as you want. Short as you want, long as you want. Maybe you only want to see the dinosaurs for 5 minutes, but you want to see them. Maybe you don't want to see them at all. Maybe you want to go be in the 1920s for a year, or you can decide when you get there.
It's true. It's very midnight in Paris.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do the Summer of Love, like Woodstock,
great.
Summer of Love.
Absolutely.
I want to see what the culture was like.
I agree with that. I think I would probably pick that too, and I didn't realize I would until you just said that.
And then I want to hang out with Jesus.
Great.
I really want to like... get in there, figure it out, understand what was really going down.
I think that's a great use of it, and I just put Jesus times. not on my camera time. How about something that you love eating so much that you could go, you have a tree of it in your backyard, whether or not it's actual fruit, it might be that like pizza grows on a tree and you can just go pick a piece of pizza whenever you want it. But there's something about, it's like, I've never said this before, but it's like as if Twinkies were organic. Like somehow the fact that it's on a tree means that it's all good for you and it came from the earth, but it might be a Twinkie. It might be something that in our universe isn't normally something that would be healthy.
So not only is it abundant in my backyard, it's also good for me.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Hazelnut chocolate, the Ferrero, I put this, like, because I have an Amazon wish list if listeners want to be like, hey, here's some chocolate.
Oh my God, that's genius. Why don't I have an Amazon wish list?
I had all these people in my life being like, why don't you have one of those? And then I'm like, only porn stars have that. And they're like,
it feels so self-indulgent.
It's, I have a hard time receiving. I give a lot, but I have, and so for me, it was also just an act of being open to receive love from other people. So
that's great.
It's actually really difficult to have one, but at the same time, joyful.
Yeah.
But yeah, the gold foil wrapped Ferrero chocolate hazelnut balls. And that'd be fun too, because it would probably make a sound like pluck.
Yeah, it's a great, that's perfect, because you actually, mm-hmm. the shape of it does seem like you pluck it right off the tree. Great. Yeah, and harvest a basket of them in season 24/7.
Okay, in Santa Monica, there is a Mexican restaurant called Gilbert's El Indio. It's very important that you know of this place.
I don't know that I do.
It's freakishly delicious. It's family-owned and operated, cash only, tasty, great booths, fun, whatever. It's amazing. They have a burrito called the Super Mule.
Mm.
And I would like the chicken Super Mule burrito tree.
Okay, what's your last one?
And, oh my God.
I love that they're so disparate from one another, too. That's great. It's not just like three types of chocolate. It's like, all right, you got a fucking burrito.
This is important. Oh my God. Okay, this is so important. Now, this is important.
I get it. I know it is. Okay. I know it is.
Okay, when I was traveling through Europe, as you do, I'm a horrible person saying it like that. I had a stopover in Belgium.
Uh-huh.
Brussels. And there is, okay, we all are familiar with the fluffy, I think bland Belgian waffle.
Uh-huh.
There is another waffle called the Liège waffle that is an incredibly dense waffle with crystals of sugar in it that caramelize. And I have not, okay, I found one truck in San Francisco recently that claimed to have Liège waffles, uh-huh. and their batter was fluffy. It's not the same.
Oh.
So if I could get a Belgian Liège waffle, like authentic tree implanted in my backyard, that would be wonderful.
Okay, the one thing I will say about this is that what you just reminded me of is, I think, I can't remember who it was. You know what? It's Kristen Rutherford. She was talking about the packaged waffle. I know it's not the same, but the packaged European waffle cookie that has caramel in it, that if you open it up, I can't remember what it's called, it's like Struppen something, and you put it on top of a coffee or a tea so that it like gets hot and the caramel kind of melts. It almost sounds like you should maybe try this, not to replace the Liège waffles you can't seem to find, but perhaps someone who enjoys what you described might also enjoy this slightly similar cousin. We got to get that on the Amazon wish list.
I need to try this. Yeah. I am a big fan of flavors.
Well, I just described waffles and caramel, and you had said waffles and something caramelized. So I felt like maybe that was the way to go. Okay. Yeah. That was really good. Now you can, I don't really want, it's hard for me to go down superpower road because we've already got small wings on here and some time traveling.
Can I tell you the best? Okay. Speed dating is awful, generally.
I've never done it, but it doesn't seem appealing.
But for research, I did a bunch of them recently. Mm-hmm. Like last year. And
last year-ish.
I would ask people, you know, deep things, random things, magical things, and superpowers was one of them. And this one guy said healing, the power of healing.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people say that on the podcast.
Really? I've never heard that one.
I know. I feel like such a jerk because I don't know that I would come up with that on my own. I think I'd do very self-serving powers.
Yeah, so do I.
I know. I'm not going to ask you about healing. What about three crushes, three people one of which you end up with for a long or short period of time. Totally up to you.
Celebrities?
Preferably, so that it's something fun that other people can be like, oh, she likes so-and-so.
Do they have to be alive?
No, not at all. Any age, any era.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm going to sound so creepy. Well, first of all, I've always had a hard time with crushing on celebrities. Mm-hmm. It's just always felt weird to me. Mm-hmm. Because I love like connection and personalities and deep, but if I had to,
it could also be like characters. Like if you're like, I'm not saying
oh, right.
Billy Crystal when Harry Met Sally, no one's ever said that, but like, I'm saying this character,
right.
So it feels less like you're crushing on someone you don't know. Like the movies give you the opportunity to know a character. And so maybe it could be that.
I know I'm just realizing, like, you are facilitating such fun for me. I hope you're having fun.
This is my favorite part of the podcast. Of your podcast. Everything else has been bullshit. I've hated every moment of it until MASH.
Ugh. Okay. I know I'm going to remember people tomorrow that I didn't say.
It's a classic side effect also of MASH.
But I would say Jimmy Stewart.
Great. What era? You're like at his oldest.
I mean, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Mm-hmm. Oh,
you're
adorable.
You're adorable. Mr. Smith.
This is, okay, because I will probably meet this person at some point and I will feel really creepy, but I can't not, because I've admired her for so long.
Yep.
But Janine Garofalo.
Great. Like, if we could facilitate that conversation ASAP. I got to get her on the podcast anyway.
Great. Like, I just feel like if we were both lesbians, we'd have a really good time being partners, you know?
Great.
Like, yes. Good laughs.
I can actually see that knowing both of you. No. That's great. It's a great one.
And, oh dear. Oh man.
Last, I was going to say, but not least, but possibly least. Last but least. Could be someone you're less excited about. Could be someone you're really excited about.
I don't really have crushes on people who are famous. Oh.
What about a movie that you love that you like watched a million times with a character in it that you're like, oh.
Or like the perfect guy in the perfect movie where you're like, why can't all guys be like that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know.
I don't like this game anymore. It's hard.
There's a lot of ups and downs. It's a wild ride. It's a real roller coaster.
And I feel like there's shame. Like, there's people that I'm blocking out because I have shame for how much like I want to totally.
Let me tell you how far out there I'm willing to go right now. I'm willing to go as far out there with, have you seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
I'm only to say that if you wanted to end up with a tiny, adorable, defenseless shoe that ends up getting dipped in a dip and dies, just so you could save its life, I would put that on here. That's how far out of the normal realm I'm willing to go right now. And I do not know what made me think of that. But my God, that poor shoe never hurt anyone. And he just uses the shoe as an example to show that the dip works. It just breaks my heart. I would cry. I cried.
People can be awful.
I saw that.
People can Turns be so out, awful.
Especially cartoon killers.
All right. I guess I will say, you know that YouTube video with the dog who's like, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I totally.
The talking dog. It feels fiercely appropriate. It feels really, really appropriate. Okay. I have two more. I'm going to try to go faster than I've been going with the other ones. If you had invented something, three things you wish you had invented and can take credit for. Like, yeah, I'm responsible for that. Like high-speed train? Yeah, I invented that. Or like Van Gogh's The Sunflowers? Actually, I painted that.
Oh, God. I feel like it would have to be something that people were so... Like, nobody knows who invented the Post-it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I guess every time I saw a Post-it, I'd like feel really validated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great.
You know?
That's one.
Like the Post-it.
Great.
Something really helpful. Like really helpful. Does it have to be invented yet?
No.
The cure for cancer.
Great.
Let's get it. Let's get on that. Right now.
Great.
And
it's hard to top cure for cancer, but it could be something fun and
magical. I just feel like we should get that one out of the way.
Yep. Nope. You know? It's good.
It's really
it's like, good.
And shoes.
Great. Someone had to. Didn't Padgett say she wished she invented the sandwich? It was really smart. Also, very good answers. Very good answers all around. Okay, and then...
Oh, sorry. I was like, Padgewitch? I don't know.
The Padgewitch. Mm. Like it. I'd eat a Padgewitch. I wonder what ingredients would be in a Padgewitch. What ingredients would be in your sandwich? This is a separate conversation.
It would be saucy. Oh, have you ever been to the Santa Monica Bay sandwich place?
No.
On Lincoln Boulevard?
Do they have gluten-free bread?
Oh, I'm so sorry. However, all of the ingredients are delicious, and you could put it on your own bread, and it'd probably still be a party.
Then maybe
mouth.
I should.
All the sauces. Like, I love pickled thing, like mustard and the pickles.
Yeah, I love mustard.
And then
I've got a cilantro jalapeno mustard that I have to order that my grocery store stops carrying, and I order from Amazon now, six jars at a time.
Did you know that you can have a, like, subscription to a product, and they'll just deliver it every 6 months or however long?
I may have known that, but have never taken advantage of it.
I just thought that was pretty neat.
It is super neat. Guys, I've got it. Okay, this is a really long podcast. It's okay. It's okay. Everyone loves when they're long.
My sandwich would be flavors. Lots of flavors.
Oh, yeah.
All the peppered turkey and just...
This is not even mashed, so that was just a wholly separate conversation.
Yeah. The vinegar.
Yeah.
A little bit of the oil, but the vinegar.
Oh, I know what I want to ask. I do want to ask pet question. I want to ask pet question. It could be a qualosaurus, kind of a qualosaur, sort of a made up invention of an animal. It could be a fictional, mystical animal. It could be just a real life animal, but three animals that you would have as a pet.
The tiger that John C. Reilly plays in Cedar Rapids.
Great.
That moment. That one.
Genius.
Of all the puppies and dogs, like all the dogs in the world, you know, and you know how every breed, whatever the breed is that is the most loving and has the sweetest eye, like that dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just want like an animal that's just gonna just love on me and but really smart. The smartest loving dog. That dog.
The smartest loving dog.
They can help me solve crimes. Oh, I love that you're writing
this
down.
I will never be able to read what this says ever, so hopefully you'll remember that you said okay. That. And then last one.
One of those eagle-type birds that you can wear a glove and it'll sit on you, but then you like... You send it out to hunt or like see what the enemy's
like a,
doing.
Like a lady hawk. I'm saying lady hawk because I love the movie Lady Hawk. I don't think they're called lady hawks. Like a falcon.
Yeah, like a falcon. But we have a psychic connection, clearly.
Psychic falcon.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking of when you just said that was the other day when I was riding my bike, a ladybug landed on me. And I just thought to myself, like, it'd be so awesome if, like, ladybugs were really smart and I had, like, a special ladybug that was, like, very smart and cute and adorable and could never be crushed because that's what my biggest fear would be. Right. But if you just had, like, a little ladybug sitting on your shoulder with you all the time or just, like, hanging out with you, mm-hmm. It's so small. Like, no one would ever really know or care or notice. Nothing bad could happen to it. Too many bad things can happen to ladybugs. But wouldn't it be cute if you just had a ladybug with you all the time?
You could build a
Nobody is going to hate that.
It could be your brainstorming bug. Yeah. Like, it's your companion, like, your
little muse card. Like you'd never be alone. Uh-huh. You'd never be alone and it would never be inconvenient because it gets its own food or yeah. I could feed it. Listen, I'm not above feeding a ladybug, guys. Okay, I'm gonna start this and you tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay, pausing this, figuring out your future, coming back with the results. That's just how we do it here. Okay. It's okay. No one be worried about the fact that Sandra has a sugar snap pea in her mouth. Okay. I'm going to start with... Oh, my writing could not be worse today. It's so bad. And I picked a bad pen, too. First, I'm going to say I want to congratulate you because I don't think you'll ever be hurting for money having invented the Post-it.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's ubiquitous. Everyone uses Post-its. They're still alive and well, even in a world of computer technology. So... You picked something that, at least for the time being, still has some longevity, I would speculate. I'm assuming that's how you paid for your beautiful apartment in Salzburg, Austria.
Oh, my God.
But it's also possible that maybe some of that money came from your job as an adventure travel host of a show.
I can't wait.
So your home base is Austria, but you've been everywhere. I mean, listen, you've been everywhere.
Yeah, we're about to start on the season where we cover Africa.
Yeah.
You know?
My concern is, how do you travel? I guess you travel differently on the show, because in life, you travel on a flying triceratops.
Thank goodness.
I just don't think many people have access to flying triceratopses. So...
Well, they're like Bentleys. What? Oh, God.
I'm just saying you might have to actually travel by like train or plane from time to time and not flying triceratops just so the people can relate. Do you know what I mean? You want the people to relate to you.
True.
Speaking of people and all people need is people and all you need is love, you do go back to visit the Summer of Love, which I think is really interesting.
Oh.
That'll be kind of a cool adventure. I'm excited to hear how that goes.
For science.
I can only assume that you take, just in case something goes horribly awry during the Summer of Love, the smartest, most loving, crime-solving dog the world has ever seen.
We do a lot of work together.
I can only assume it can time travel and that it gets along with the Triceratops, God willing. and that leaves us with your home. Now, I know you live in an apartment in Austria. Do not worry. There is still a tree abundantly rich with Super Mule burritos.
Oh, thank God.
Because you know what? In Austria, I don't think you can get great Mexican food. So you probably will be really happy to have that more so than anything else. You can certainly have your share of hazelnut chocolate when you're in Austria anyway.
True.
And probably you're not that far from the waffles. So you ended up with the one thing that is going to be the hardest to access when you're in Austria. This is all working out so well.
I'm so happy.
And you're sharing this. You can, some days when you're not that hungry, you can cut that Super Mule burrito in half and give the other half to Jimmy Stewart, circa Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I mean, this has really worked out well for you.
What an
adorable life in Austria and as a travel show host and on the Flying Triceratops.
I'm so excited about what's happening in my brain right now.
Yeah. And I can guarantee this is all going to come true. This podcast comes with a certified money back guarantee or your money back.
Thank you.
Now, if you didn't put any money into this experience, you're not getting any back. So even if it doesn't turn out to be true, I haven't lost anything, neither of you.
I will make it rain.
Great. Great. Sandra, almost 2 hours. We made it to an hour, 45 minutes.
Wow.
What a delight. My longest podcast to date. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have had a great time.
It's been fantastic. I feel tired. I feel as tired as I should feel after the crazy amount of energy that I put into like that entire podcast because I had so much enthusiasm and my thoughts were racing. I feel like I don't need to think for like 2 hours, but I think a lot. So it's still going to happen.
Is that why I feel tired a lot? I get really excited.
I feel like I was really adrenalized because I was like, oh my God, so many of our synapses are firing and like all of these things are connecting for us circuitry wise. And then now I'm like, oh, listen, I got to lie down. Huh. It's great. Loved it.
Good. I did too. Oh.
Yeah, we did good.
Yeah.
That's not even the right word. We did well. We did some good and we did very well together.
When you start using improper grammar,
you know it's time to stop.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And that you've won.
We did it.
Yeah. High five. Hey, remember when all of time stood still? As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.